Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance from God our Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
As I mentioned, we're looking at the gospel reading for today from Mark chapter 4. Just like to highlight the words, Jesus himself was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" One has to wonder a bit just what was going through the minds of those disciples. I mean, we can all agree that this was a scary moment for these men. But I think it's important to emphasize that a little bit differently. This was a scary moment for these men. And that's saying something. Understand, these were commercial, local fishermen. Like, half of the guys in the boat knew the lake so well that at any place on that lake, they could probably tell you within inches how deep the water was. They could tell you there was a boulder over there, or there's a deeper channel over here. And if you go over here and you cast your net in just the right way, you can get this kind of fish. I mean, some of you spend enough time on one particular lake that you know that about the lake that you fish so well. Not only did these guys know the lake so well, but with so much time on the lake, they knew that it was not unusual for storms like this to come up. The systems will move off the Mediterranean Sea, out of the west, and because of the high bluffs, I think some places is like 900 feet above, you know, it's this sort of almost like teacup that you're in where the lake sits. These storms will come screaming down these valleys of undulating bluffs around the lake with little or no warning. Even today, with weather forecasting, sometimes these storms pop up and out of nowhere. They knew how to handle themselves. I mean, they hadn't just maybe experienced a storm or two. They experienced many storms. They had survived them. They knew exactly what to do when the storm would hit. They were confident, these local commercial fishermen, being out on the water. They could go out anytime, pretty much in any condition, and be just fine. Until that moment when they realized that they weren't. They knew what they were doing. I mean, we're told that the disciples were doing all they could to try to survive this storm. They were building on all the experience of generations of fishermen before them. They were battening everything down, and they were pointing the boat in the right direction, and they were struggling against the oars, and they were bailing, and they were bailing, and they were bailing. And we know why in that moment when they realized they weren't okay. There are multiple accounts of this story, and the Greek words that are used are different in both places to give you an idea. Matthew uses a word that talks about the earthquake is the word that's used there. So keep this is a shaking that's going on. And then Mark and Luke use a word that describes a hurricane. Put an earthquake and a hurricane together. This wasn't just a bad storm. This wasn't even a storm of the century. This was a storm of a lifetime. These disciples, they thought they were okay. They could handle anything until they realized that they couldn't. And the whole time, Jesus is just sleeping away in the back of the boat. It's interesting. That moment when they realized that they couldn't handle it. And then we hear, "Jesus, don't you realize that we're about to drown?" Under inspiration, the prophet Isaiah records the word of the Lord. "When you cross through the waters, I will be with you. When you cross through the rivers, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not set you on fire.
The disciples knew those words.
Doesn't seem like they popped into their heads at the moment that they were pulling on the oars, struggling for their lives. They woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're about to drown?" I have to admit, it does make me chuckle a little bit whenever I read this text, because their handling of this situation, it's so classic. It's just so human, so self-reliant, so flawed. Jesus, right there. And the truth is, we can identify this, it resonates with us so much, because we see it ourselves in those disciples. We know that we've been in that situation where life is just a storm of chaos around us. And we know Jesus has said, "I will be with you always," and yet there we are, struggling on the oars, trying to point the boat in the right direction, bailing and bailing. Bailing and bailing. Like those disciples on the Sea of Galilee, we like to think that we can handle it. And maybe you are in your life, maybe you think of those words when Isaiah says, when you cross through the waters, when you walk through the fire. Maybe you actually can think of a storm in your life. Or a time when you were out on the water and you thought for sure you weren't going to make it. But all of us can point to days, times, experiences in our lives when we didn't know what tomorrow was going to bring. More likely, your storm is a water hazard or a blistering fire or some other nature. And we still think that we can handle it. We think, okay, I will follow the steps of the cancer treatment. I will make sure that I check down every time I get through every step of the stages of grief. We'll work the system to rebuild wealth. We'll do the research. We'll put a plan together. We'll even tap God a little bit once in a while in prayer. And I'm going to pick for a moment on the "we just" prayers that we all find ourselves doing sometimes. You know that term, "we just" prayers? We just ask, "Lord, for this." We just ask, "Lord, for that blessing." Almost as if we're looking to just get a little something from God. Like, "I just want a little slice, God. I don't want the whole apple pie. Just a little slice." Because then he's more likely to give it to me. I mean, if I ask for the whole pie, I'm never going to get it. If I get just that little bit, then maybe I can do it. So we put all that together. My efforts, my plans, and a little something from God, and I should be just fine. And there's nothing wrong with using our brains. In fact, God encourages us to be shrewd. He wants us to recognize the gifts, the opportunities that he gives us, to use the strength that he's given us. He wants us to be smart about it. In fact, he talks about giving over the wisdom and wealth of this world to benefit his people. But he always wants us to know that he is there with us. And I know sometimes it seems like he's sleeping in the back of the boat, like, "Come on, Lord, I'm dealing with this, and you seem to be oblivious to what's going on." And we all know Jesus sleeping in the back of the boat, he was not oblivious. As I said with the kids, when they woke him, there was no, "Oh, I can't believe there's a storm going on." No, he just gets up and he takes care of it. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to know that he's always with us, that we need not worry about tomorrow, that we're invited to pray continually with the full confidence that he hears us. And there we are, battening the hatches, pulling on the oars, pointing the direction, bailing and bailing and bailing, and every time we bail, we look back to see if Jesus woke up yet. Until finally that moment when we realize there is no matter what we do, we cannot do this. And we say, "Jesus, don't you care? I'm drowning here." And of course he does. We know that. We know that he cares. We who have been redeemed by his blood, we who have been called out of darkness into his wonderful light, we who have been made children of God, who are so treasured by him that he would give his life for ours. It's kind of interesting when Jesus talks to those disciples after he calms the storm. The EHV translates it, "Why are you so, or are you still afraid?" It actually probably was a little bit harsher. It was more, "Why are you such cowards?" Oof. But isn't that more accurate? Why do we give up the confidence? We know that God loves us. And we know what he can do. We see it in account after account like this. We want God, we want him to take care of it like that. We want him to take away the cancer. We want him to drop a bunch of money in the bank account. We want him to lift the weight of grief just like that. And when it doesn't, Jesus, don't you care? And of course, he does. Now, sometimes he does answer that prayer. You ever been there? You prayed and the Lord answered it just the way you prayed, and you kind of went, wait a second. This isn't how it usually works. You're just waiting for that other shoe to drop. You know that old adage, careful what you pray for, because you might just get it. Sometimes I think that happens too, like we pray and God does it and we're like, thanks, but I don't know. Because actually, we've seen God so many times in our lives that he does, just as he says, give us more than we can ask or imagine. Look again at how Isaiah described it. It says, when you cross through the waters, I'll be with you. When you cross the rivers, they will not sweep you away. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned, and the flame will not set you on fire. Do you notice that there's no plucking out? There's no drying up? There's no putting out the blaze? There's his promised presence as we go through. Not out, but through. Because he knows that as we go through it, what happens? We grow to rely on him. Our faith is deeper. Do you see at the end of that storm, the disciples' reaction when Jesus says, peace be still, and he turns and he says, why are you such cowards? And they're like, even the wind and waves obey. Talk about confidence in the storm. There's a little detail that I find very interesting about another time when the disciples are in the midst of heavy seas. It's just after Jesus had fed the 5,000. We're looking at John chapter 6. Jesus has just fed the 5,000, and they misunderstand, and they want to make Jesus into a bread king, and Jesus just wants to get the disciples away from that group think. And so he says, okay, take the boat, go back to Capernaum. I'm going to dismiss the crowds, which he does. And then he goes up on a hillside to pray. It's late in the day, it's through the night, and the disciples are pulling on the oars, trying to get to Capernaum, but the wind is in their face and they aren't getting anywhere. And then the seas just get rougher and rougher and rougher. And they're in the spot again where they think that they are going to drown. And in the midst of their fear, Jesus comes out to them walking on the water. Now, this is an important detail, too. They're pulling imagine the boat here. They're pulling on the oars, and they're trying to go that way. And along comes Jesus walking alongside the boat. I think we picture him coming towards the boat, and they say, oh, it's a ghost. But really, Jesus comes up alongside them, which I think is a really neat aspect to the story. And Peter says, call me up. Peter steps out on the water and he starts walking to Jesus, but he sees the wind and the waves and he starts to sink and he says, "Save me." And Jesus sticks out his hand and he pulls him up and he says, "Once again, O ye of little faith, why are you such a coward?" He gets back in the boat. It instantly becomes calm, but John tells us that immediately the boat arrived at their destination. So they were out in the middle of the lake, Jesus gets in the boat, and they're in Capernaum. Just like that. On that day, when Jesus was napping in the back of the boat, do you think he could have made the boat instantly go to the other side? Absolutely. But he didn't. Because he had his purposes. I think sometimes we think of these storms in our life as ways that we can prove ourselves to God. That's not what it's about. It's God proving to us again and again and again the depth of his love, the lengths to which he will go to make sure that we get to the other side, to make sure that he gets us where he wants us to be, to make sure that he is working whatever is going on for our temporal and eternal good. We may not be able to see it. We may question, "Lord, don't you care? Lord, are you sleeping? Hello?" But he handles it. He takes care of it with those beautiful words, "Peace, be still."